It's March 13th.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on the service, and Lord, that your spirit of hearing of the healing would flow to those plagued with cancer and any other kind of infirmities that man is subject to, oh Lord. Lord, we ask, oh Jesus, that there would just be your healing, your life, that would be brought to all of those. To Paulson and me and all, Lord. Just flow. That healing, that life, oh Lord, would just be there. Be there by your Spirit. Amen.
I have a short little story about something that happened to me this week. At first, it might not seem like there is a spiritual thing to it. Long story short, I'm leaving this job site and I forgot to close the trailer doors, and I do that like twice a day. And I look in the mirror, I'm like, oh man, I didn't close the trailer doors, so they're flopping or opening up, obviously. And one door hits a car as I'm going. So I stop on the side, close the door, and I just keep going.
Knock.
It did. Screw it. I just went to hell. That's a bad joke, anyways.
The Lord blesses us, Papa.
I want to switch the quick trip back, 2 minutes each way. And I'm thinking, man, and I knew immediately, do to others what you would have done to you and 1,000 other scriptures, that why is that wrong? Anyway, so I think my drive back, so the car was, it was not in perfect shape, right? It had dents and whatever, but that's not none of my business. That's not my problem. That's nothing to do with what I should do, right? So I looked at it, and it was fine. The car was fine, and I couldn't find, and then I kind of looked at my door where it hit. I couldn't find it, and the dents that were there were older. You could tell there was a little rust. So I decided to let it go. I said, I'm not going to say nothing to nobody. I'm going to whatever. But I still knew it was wrong. It was wrong. I mean, it's as wrong as it gets. So then I'm working. I'm at the job site. And Eli, he tells the carpenter, he says, yeah, well, my dad hit a car with the doors. Ha, ha, ha. He thinks it's funny. So now I'm mad at you because you can't say that. I mean, now if there is a scratch, in fact, or a dent, people will start talking and say, oh, yeah, it was Pablo. And so now I'm mad at Eli. I'm mad at myself because I'm stupid. So now I get closer to the car, like close. And there was maybe a foot long scratch in the bumper. It was just the pain. I mean, it was just on surface. It didn't get to the deep of the end. So now, I ring the doorbell, and this is downtown Eau Claire, so it's, anyways, the guy happens to be in the kitchen, he looks back, and people are not used to nobody ringing the doorbell. That's not.
Well, especially not someone's.
Right. So, anyways, he comes out, I tell him, hey, bump your bumper, are you going to come out and look at it? Yeah. He came out, we look at it, and I said, I think this is what I put in here. I said, oh, yeah, he says, that blood looks fresh or whatever. So I thought.
You guys like that one too? And
I know.
I think I really, what the scratch I put there means nothing. It was nothing.
Well,
really.
In the area you're working.
But it doesn't matter. This could be a brand new Ferrari or an old beat up something. I put the scratch there. I have to be responsible. I told the guy, how can I make it right? He said, it's $200. I said, sure. I have it on cash. I go get it. $200. I give him $200. He's happy. Happier. Because now, see, God, what happened now? God used Eli, really, to force me. And I was actually so thankful that that I went up. I wouldn't have, if it wasn't for Eli and his whatever, I wouldn't have said nothing to this. I don't know if I would.
Because you didn't see the scratch.
I didn't see the scratch until, right, I got it.
I mean, otherwise you would have.
But the door hit, I mean, it's impossible for a door to hit at 15, 20 miles an hour and not nothing. Anyways, I would have been tormented, you know, for who knows how long because of this, you know. And I was so thankful that I went and talked to the guy and he was happy with it. He was not going to fix it, obviously, but that has nothing to do with me. Not my problem. I don't care. He was happy. Thank you for your honesty thing or whatever. Oh, yeah, whatever, handshake. But anyway, look, see what God did. He didn't want me to be miserable, you know, and he forced it. You know, he forced it that I did the right thing, even if it wasn't in my power. God made me. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, sometimes you want to turn the other cheek. I almost felt like God grabbed my head and turned my neck around, you know, and I was so thankful, so thankful. I was so thankful. Then Eli, he talked to me that way, man. I said, Eli, and I went to him, you know what, I was mad, but I'm actually thankful. I am so thankful that you did this because now we made it right, and I was happy. So I'm thankful to God that I would have been miserable, who knows, for how long, maybe forever. And so that's
quite
it.
How often do we do that with our sin?
Yeah.
You know, it's a good, shows us
yeah.
that if we ignore our sin, we're
right.
going to be miserable.
Right.
No matter how big or small it is, it
yeah.
doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's our sin.
Yeah. And I knew immediately what was it. I knew that the right thing was to come and make it right with the guy, but I did it.
But you didn't do it.
I did.
Well, that's the temptation. That's what me and my dad kind of talked further because we never talked about, like, my viewpoint of forgiving or self-forgiveness is not to forgive yourself, but to allow yourself to be forgiven. Do the right thing because you can be forgiven or you can be tortured. You can, and even if he would have let it go and forgot about it, 6 months from now, something would happen and that demonic torture comes in and that's the keeping yourself from being free and freely forgiven. Or then you see a scratch on your car and you're like, well, I wonder who did that to me. And someone probably drove off, you know what I mean? Because you did that to somebody else. And that gives light to those things to torture you and keeps you from being forgiven. So there's a freedom in that hard piece.
And then living with shame, like Charlie.
Sure.
Yeah, and how Charlie said it was that was, mm-hmm. yeah, it's a shame that just sits there.
Glenn, do you have that paper that you brought over the other day? Do you have another copy of it, or is it just the one that...
I don't have any papers with me today. But I was going to say, while you're doing that, what you did, so to speak, is just slap the devil in the face because he ain't got nothing to use against you now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. By doing that.
Right.
That's what he set up for, what is it, my demise is God turned into glory.
Right. But my big point is that sometimes we try to do the right thing and we know what the right thing is and we're not able. Okay? Now, here, God actually, he did. It wasn't my anything. You know, so many times we try to do the right thing and we're just not capable. And that was God actually, there's like no way out of whatever God is making you do. It really, I'm not trying to be humble or whatever. It was not my power or my nothing. It was God 100% that he made it, all this possible and happening, and there was no effort in me. There was nothing. So when all these times we try to do the right thing, I think, see, you draw near to God, God draws near to you. He did it all. He really did it all. It's not because anything, I just knew what the right thing was, but I wasn't going to do it.
excuse me, just a second. Let's not bury the lead here. The most exciting thing I got out of this is how God is using Eli.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
I mean, you already knew, but God used Eli to force the hand. It's
right.
kind of like the prophet coming up and said, well, you know, this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that man is in trouble. Who's that man? You.
Right.
Oh, you could have decided not to listen, but you decided to listen also.
And even better, I was upset, then realized not, because it was a good thing.
I was upset at Eli. I didn't manifest it to him or nothing, but I was super upset. I mean, it's like, Eli, that is
let me also say, Pablo, this may be a little more mundane, but it's pretty obvious that you are a Latino. Yep. And you left behind a man who, whenever he is confronted with any kind of whatever, negative down on Latinos or whatever, knows better.
Mm-hmm.
Knows better based on that experience.
Right.
And, you know, I imagine you do that quite a few times most days.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, Pablo, he's, you know, yeah. That's quite an honor that the Lord has bestowed on you to be able to do that. That's quite an honor.
Maybe not as spiritual, but it's kind of interesting in following that up. I heard someone talking today, they were explaining about the great divide in the country and in the world, about people, and how the definition of racism has been modified to go from groups of people to only color. I mean, used to be you were an Italian, or an Irishman, or a Frenchman, or an Englishman. You're not. You're just white. And racism now can only be white against non-white. And someone was explaining how Jews, who used to be, you know, they were being hunted by Hitler, and as a race, but then kind of as a religion, and people recently said some stupid things about how, no, that's white. They're white. So white and white is not
racist.
And it's amazing, and I follow what Trevor's saying. I think we really need to keep, if we're going to exhibit a godlike attitude towards everyone, we need to see how the enemy is trying to distort what we hear as to what's right and wrong. And I mean, I think that's a classic example. Now, I think it's okay to go down on the Norwegians, because we got a little bit too much Norwegian in the church to ignore that, you know, that elephant in the room. But beyond that, I think white on white, you know, is, you know, so.
I'm stepping on toes there, boy.
I was taking on all the heat.
But it was amazing to me, because you think about it.
Yeah.
The Defamation League has changed the definition of racism in the last 12 or 18 months.
Yes, definitely.
And it's encouraging to see how when we try and walk right before God, we can really attack what the enemy is doing in the world today. And it's one last comment about your testimony. You had the ability to do something in a way that you wouldn't have been able to measure any output, yet you did something positive, and what comes of it, you don't know. And I think that's truly the right way to walk before God. We shouldn't do things with this open, wonderful heart if it seems to be recognized we're doing this wonderful thing, and everybody knows. I think God is much more impressed and blessed when you do things and only He and you know.
Let me change gears or something a little bit. Keith's recollection of March 15 of 1982 fell on a Monday. I have a very distinct recollection that it fell on Tuesday. And I think I'm right. I think Keith is wrong. I'm right. Anyway, yeah, March 15.
We can verify that right now.
Look at Corky.
Okay. Well, hey, don't ruin my what I had to say, not Corky.
We are we're very interested in being accurate. What say you as March 15th?
Well, I don't know what I'm going to do if it turns out it fell on Monday, Corky. You're going to totally ruin things. So. Anyway, it was 40 years ago, and there is some spiritual significance to the number 40, of course. And so I thought I got a sense from the Lord that perhaps there could be a renewal on a battle against the works of the enemy. Not that it would necessarily be any kind of part two of deliverance, but whatever. That the kingdom of Satan would be damaged, be some serious harm done to his schemes by us here in 40 years after we did serious damage to his schemes back 40 years ago, and that would again do that would again occur in a manner of the Lord's choosing, of course. But now you start shaking your fist at the enemy, and you're looking at maybe some trouble, but perhaps it's a little imprudent of me to be noting all of this, but I would like to offer us as available to be a tool in the hands of the Lord to do damage to the kingdom of Satan. And let me invite any of the rest of you to join me in that offer.
Yes.
And did you find out what Mark?
He went looking.
I stopped.
Oh, you stopped. Oh, okay.
I felt a level of conviction I haven't experienced in a while. So.
Okay.
You'll say Jesus commanded.
One of them is right. I also Googled. We'll leave it at that. One of them is right.
Okay.
A little bit older.
Maybe it was March 14th.
March 14th was on a Sunday.
Or the 13th.
Right. You know. We lost the second Monday of 19th of March.
One little thing when we Ricky brought up race. There's a scripture that I really like, and I can't remember where it is now, but it states in the Word that there's one blood in all mankind.
Yes, amen.
Mm-hmm. That God created. So, all the blood running in everyone is the same. It has no color other than red, you know? And so, it doesn't matter what your outside looks like. God created you all evenly with all having the same blood.
Exactly. There's only one race, and that's the human race.
Yeah.
Literally, the human race.
I was thinking that this morning for some reason. I thought, Lord, isn't it amazing how you decided to just make all these different colors of people, you know?
Can you imagine if we all looked the same?
I think that at one point in time we all did look the same.
Probably
but because the altitude differences and where we are according to the equator, that over time humans have adapted to their environments.
I don't know how we read the parable of the Good Samaritan and not take away the message that skin color or all sorts of ethnic differences should just plain be disregarded. I don't know how you read that parable and come to any other conclusion.
Yeah.
He
talks about the meat that I've made clean and whatever, and he says later, like, he's made this clear. He's not talking about meat. He's talking about people and all of that. And honestly, like, our flesh is, okay, what makes it different, but our flesh is also a curse and dust. So what does it matter what your curse is?
That's
or
right.
His curse or his curse or his curse? We're all cursed by having to be in this flesh until we get to go be where we're supposed to be, because our flesh is what failed us. So who am I to judge your curse?
Yeah.
That's right.
They're all curses. My curse is equally a curse.
All is fallen short.
Right?
Yep. All is fallen short. All is sinning. Just read that this morning, too.
Hmm.
Kind of following up with Charlie. The scripture has been in my mind for all week. I'm not sure exactly why I had happened with it, but this is, the scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee. And then start pondering on it. And when you see, this is not when the rain comes, put the umbrella. You know, this is an ongoing thing. Resist the devil and he will flee. And it's because the devil is constantly at work. Constantly. So you have to constantly resist him. And then he will flee. You know, but he's gonna come again, even with Jesus. He says, and the devil just returns at another time, at a more opportune time or whatever. So the devil, he leaves, but he wants to come back. And he may not be successful. He won't be successful. He's never successful. We have to resist him. And the devil, he's a lot of things, but one thing he is also, he's actually a tool of God, really.
That's right.
He uses the devil for his good purposes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now it's up to us, you know, to know that or whatever. But he's just a tool of the devil. He can only do what God lets him do.
Mm-hmm.
And God is in control of everything.
One of the lyrics of the song that Brittany played this morning is that the fight is fixed.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah.
The fight is fixed.
Yeah. That little sermonette he gave in the beginning,
yeah,
fits so good for where we're at. I've been standing on the fact that God is in total control of everything,
mm-hmm,
for like over a year or more now, and it's sinking deeper and deeper all the time, building more faith on that.
Mm-hmm.
And he is. It's
yeah.
just... And when you have that, you don't care what's going on around. Well, I mean, you know what I mean? You don't have to be affected as much by what's going on around you in the world. God has a plan. He said, you know, it's true. And if you can keep standing on that, then you'll keep a lot of the devil away in as far as torment, you know, with what's going on around you.
An interjection. His name is Eddie James. So if you want to look him up, Eddie James, and he has another song, Be Healed, that I, and he'll talk in between or start speaking in tongues or whatever, but my sister showed me him some years back, but he has, all of his songs are just impactful, but Be Healed and Give Thanks are two of my very favorites, just over and over. All right, do you want to read a scripture, Dad? Do you want to read a scripture? You've been holding that, okay. Susan and I are both concerned. I want you to, like, before you drop the Bible, or I don't know.
Let me quickly fill Eli in what I was. I shared the story of my trailer bumping into a car. Eli?
Yeah, Bobby whispered it to me.
I whispered.
Just now? Oh, yeah. I told him that I was super mad at you. I was mad at you and saying something to the carpenter, but then I was thankful you did. I mean, I told you that.
Yeah.
I told him. We were talking about you.
Well, I'm glad to see him because I was a little worried because Pablo was mad.
It's a fresh hole in the backyard.
I'm a little disappointed in you, Eli, for telling, but I pulled your leg.
Yeah, I was so mad. I'm more thankful than I was mad.
Out of the mama's leaves.
Yeah.
You
don't have a scripture?
No, I had a scripture that I just, it didn't fit anywhere, but it doesn't matter, you know.
They all fit now.
This is Revelation 2:7. It says, he that had an ear, no. Yeah, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Churches, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden of paradise. Or the paradise of God. Is that tree of life still there?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
There it is.
How many years old is that tree?
No, it was
pretty old. How many years old is that tree?
Doesn't the scriptures, maybe I haven't turned around, but isn't there a scripture that kind of describes a new world or whatever, and there's a river and a tree, and we will all eat out of it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, Adam and Eve did not have access to the tree of life. There was an angel waving around a sword, preventing access. I guess we got access. It's out to be as though we do.
That would be the new covenant, right?
Uh-huh.
A lot happened when Jesus came. I mean, you know, I was reading in Galatians this morning, and it explains some all that a lot of that went on with the law and everything. And that is such a transformation from the old covenant to the new covenant. I mean, it's totally new and different than what was God had originally put there. And it just shows how and how entwined we are with Jesus, that we can be entwined with him. I mean, you're in error, it says, when you take on faith instead of the law, you become an heir of God, you know?
Yeah.
That's a big deal, you
it
know?
Is. Amen. That is. Yeah, think about it.
Right. And it uses the example that Sharon, when the child is small, he's an heir, but he's still the same as the slaves and everything else. But at an appointed time, he becomes the heir. And the appointed time for us was when Jesus Christ came and gave his life on the cross, and then we became, you know, if you believe it. So, yeah, I read so much in there lately that I go, if only you truly appreciated everything God has for you.
Oh, sure.
You know? Yes. And I don't, I admit. It's hard to appreciate everything when you're fighting. So you got to have also the faith that he will get you there.
It's impossible to understand the fullness in the natural.
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Understanding that this life is so much a test or a curse, and how long we have to suffer, and it being equally partakers in the suffering, we get to be equal partakers in the glory, and that, and then where it talks about how to live is to Christ and to die is to gain. Yeah. That's almost a freeing, if you think about, okay, we're all fighting to keep living, or keep dying, you know, here, while we're living on earth, we're really just dying, but when we die, we go to heaven. That's not a curse.
Right.
That's like a glorious victory graduation. You
right.
know what I mean? And when your mindset changes from how long can I stay here to keep struggling to what do you need me to do while I'm here until I'm worthy to go there, you're not so much dying anymore, but going through a phase until you pupate and head to a butterfly. And that changes this from a torture to a beautiful cocoon of torture. But in struggle and that stuff, but that's like the firstborn of the living, and it's a freeing heart's position that glory, I get to suffer. Glory, I get to suffer. If I wasn't suffering and this life was great and all of that, and I have all of it, I have my reward already.
That's right.
I already have my reward, but I feel more like I'm living now, knowing that when I'm done with this, I'm not going to die and just be in a box and whatever, and I have kids and I have life and I have that stuff. I'm going to glory.
Yeah.
Take
you
me
know,
sooner than later. Come back.
He kind of actually gives us, if you really accept what it means to be born again, see, and I can't comprehend or live yet where John
is in like First and Second John, where he says, "You're dead. You don't sin anymore. Once you've been born again, you've been born from above, and you're a spiritual being now. Not totally, but so that's the struggle, is becoming the more spiritual man fully, because it says your old man died. When you were buried with Christ in baptism, your old man died. But we can't, I'll speak for me, I can't accept that totally yet. I keep letting that old man have life, you know. And he's supposed to be dead, you know, and I'm not supposed to have sin anymore, you know. Of course, you can kind of, if you can walk day to day close enough with God, I believe you can pretty much walk without sin if you're repenting immediately and controlling the thoughts, like casting down images and all that. You know, we just don't realize what that's like because we're not there yet. I think we can have a huge portion, if not all of that, before we actually are taken out of this world.
You do walk without sin.
Right.
You do. But you just do. Who cares about where the Bible says you do?
I know, and that's it's the hard part to understand when he's saying what he's... Because he starts out saying you're a sinner,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
and then you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And then don't sin. If you love God, you don't sin.
Right.
Da, da, da. And so some... And I believe a lot of it is we give life to the old man.
Yeah.
And then Paul says, yeah, the old man, he sins. The old guy, you know, the flesh guy sins.
Right.
But I'm a spiritual man.
Right.
And I don't sin. You
see,
know?
What helped me, I'm not going to tell you. And you said, well, I mean, I can't really comprehend or understand how that works. But don't try to understand it or comprehend it. Because trying to understand it or comprehend it will actually, it's a stumbling block. Because it's something from God. It's just from God. He just believe it. Just believe it. So that's what the Bible says. Take it and run with it and believe it. How many things we can't comprehend that are in the Bible? I mean, so many are incomprehensible. Just believe it. It's true. It's true. Take it. Run with it. Keep it.
Just keep it. And Paul gives a great example in Romans, you know, 7. You know, the things that I wish I wouldn't do, I do, da-da-da-da-da-da. But the answer is then, thank God, in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation.
Right.
You know?
I think you get that through the, when you forgive somebody else, you give your, not give yourself, but and you are forgiven, that condemnation goes, and my dad and I talked about that, and constantly when we're accusing or excusing, it says in the Bible, in everything you do, you're accusing or excusing what everyone else is doing. And if you somehow get to a place where everything someone does to you or is going on, you are constantly looking for the excuse of what they're doing, that almost breathes room for Jesus to look for the excuse in the sin that you're doing, and that free forgiving mindset then gets rid of the torture of that thing. But if in everything that you're doing, your heart's position is to understand that everyone's a victim of the demonic thing, because we don't walk around like, I'd really like to screw over that guy with his car, but it's an embarrassment given to temptation. I don't want to handle this. I don't want to deal with this thing. That if he chose to not do that, you know, that's why. And understanding that when people do things, I had the opportunity with somebody who wronged me to handle it a few ways, and it was a struggle. It was a struggle. And I feel like before the Lord, we handled it appropriately and whatever, and in understanding that what had happened was someone giving into their own temptations and that stuff, and it turned into a great situation where I got to look at somebody and say, you know, you've stolen from me. Let's pray about it, and no matter how we twist it and whatever, and it was really cool to see this person look at me and say, like, okay, yeah, you're right. And in looking like an embarrassment, to be able to tell him, now let's count this to the Lord and what he says and blah, blah, blah. And it was a glorious thing, and in that, it more solidified my feeling of peace and forgiveness in myself, because that's how Jesus forgives me. It's done, we're good, let's move on. Glory, this is what it is, and looking for the excuse of it, not accusing him. When I was sitting there accusing, I was also feeling really icky inside because I'm like, oh, really, you're going to do this thing and do whatever. And if I would have breathed like that way and handled the situation that way, it would have just continued in a mental torture and I could have fixed things according to what was right to my natural man and all of that. But that's not what's right before the Lord.
It seems to me like we really have full ability to earn things, earn redemption, earn forgiveness, and also earn condemnation, earn unforgiveness. As much as we have the ability to earn all of the good things, we have an ability to earn all of the bad things. Like in your story, you had the opportunity to earn forgiveness or earn condemnation, because guess what? Remember what happened to my Taurus not too long ago? That chick backed out, boom, smoked me right in the side. Years back, I've done a couple hit and runs when I was doing drugs and stuff, never stopped. I earned that girl hitting my car because I didn't do the right thing. What goes around comes around, and if you do good, the good will come back to you. The Lord rewards that just like He rewards all of the impure things that we do, all of the negative thoughts we have for people. We earn that to be brought back to us, you know? A lot of the problems that I see myself struggling with are things that I've earned, you know?
Right, yes.
And that's an opportunity to make it right.
Mm-hmm.
And breathe freedom and release that.
Absolutely.
I don't know, but all these wrong things, however it is, you don't deserve them. You don't deserve it. You know, if it happens to you, I don't know, but it's not because you deserve it. We haven't done anything to deserve good or bad. You know, deserve not even deserve.
In his car thing, like, I think that he was able to, by telling the girl, like, that's okay. He was tested by the devil and tempted to handle it a different way, and in how he forgives her is how he is forgiven. And so in that, the Lord, some things you answer for on earth, it says in the Bible, you there's judgment. Some things before you go and some things after. Like, all things will be brought to light. And my need to forgive in the situation that we did, or his thing in that, that is a testing of your willingness to forgive to justify an excuse.
Yes. But my point is a total different thing. It's like whatever you're suffering with or going through or things that are not, don't make you happy, it's not because you deserve them. You don't deserve them.
You know, the Lord's grace is just not a deserving deal. You know, if the prodigal son had what was coming to him, it certainly wouldn't have been what he got from the father.
Right.
It would have been real different. Now, you know, bad things happen to the prodigal son in the process of making a decision to go back to the father. But, oh, the Lord's grace. You know, you try to think of that in your own life. The good deal that prodigal son got out of coming back. You know, we're much more the older brother than we are recognizing the...
I don't see it as deserving it. It's a result of...
Like I said, I think we can earn it. Earn the bad things by doing the bad things.
It's a result, yeah. It's not that you deserve good,
bad. By doing the things, we put ourselves in the position to be on the receiving end.
Yeah, we don't deserve anything.
And whatever the reason for it, whether it's for good or for bad, I don't know. What I'm saying is that I see direct correlations between
the things. It's the result.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a result. You made a decision to do good. The result of that was good. It's not that you deserved it or earned it or anything. It's the result. And we want good results, so we have to make good decisions.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it. We don't deserve good. We don't deserve bad.
Mm-hmm. No, I think we earn goes by our works, though. It's okay if I'm the only person with that outlook. Maybe everyone else just needs to think on it a little bit. But I feel divine clarity in that. So maybe just next Sunday we can touch on it. That's fine.
It's words. I don't write. I'm not understanding your feelings.
My feeling is pretty much.
What?
I don't know how.
So we, I mean, the word God says that we reap what we sow.
Yeah.
We reap what we sow.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's
and so, I mean, you know, grace is the wild card in that, in that reap what we sow deal.
Mm-hmm.
But we reap what we sow.
That's what
Because it shows in, I don't know where it is, but it says, it shows how you can end up with sin. You decide, well, you make a choice in something, and then all of a sudden it leads to this, and then you sin. You know, there's steps to it, and you're kind of responsible for it. Because you're making the decision. You're giving in or not giving in to the temptation. That's what it is. It starts with the temptation. You can refuse it or not, or you can give in to the temptation, and then you're going to give in to sin, you know. So
some of those things I feel like it's almost required because, to be honest, until I've been faced with the need to forgive with full excuse and in the right position of my heart, I never understood what it was like to be forgiven or how that forgiveness works or how hard the sacrifice that Jesus made truly was. Because in a lot of things, I can make sure it's my way or right by me or write to me, or whatever, and then often, it's like, why are you doing that? Or why did you do that to me? Or I could make this right through the justice system, through this, through that, you owe me an apology, you whatever, and I have these feelings in my heart, and until I was faced with that forgiveness, I didn't get it, and now, ooh, I feel so much more love, because all I have to do is say, forgive me, and he forgives me. It took a lot more justification in my heart, you know. That free love, that makes me feel so much more loved and so much happier that it is required of me to forgive or to do those things.
Well, I think you kind of hit on it. Unconditional love is unconditional.
Right.
So history or what may or may not have been done against you doesn't really factor into it. Father was talking really early, and he's going like, da-da-da-da-da, and I'm going, what was Job's sin? Job's sin was he was doing it so good, God said, told the devil, take him out, make his life as miserable as you can within these boundaries. His sin was he was living so well, quote unquote, and he really wasn't sinning. So, you know, you go, well, what did Job do to bring this on? Nothing except that God used him. God used him for him, his family, those that knew him, and God knew, because God does, how Job would stand up to that test. So it's, you know, on this earth, we are probably going to get things that we could say in the natural field unjust. And really, it's how we react to that and say, I'm going to forgive this person unconditionally, because that's what Scripture says to do. And we should be walking as right as we can, because as Charlie pointed out, Scripture also says, you reap what you sow. So if you're walking around trying to be forgiving, that will come back to you. I think you will be blessed, you know, many scriptures, you know, do one to others. And it's kind of where we've been the last couple of weeks when we try and talk about forgiveness. And I'm still not, I have issues when I hear self-forgiveness. I'm not okay with that term, but I am okay with we need to be able to forgive to move forward. And we do need to be forgive so that God can forgive us, because that is definitely lines up with many, many scriptures. So, but forgiveness sometimes requires unconditional love. And even as we talked about the prodigal son, where in the natural that doesn't make any sense, for that was what the father did. Yet, if you think about it, it makes perfect sense, because the father was so overjoyed that the prodigal son came back. I mean, he was lost, and now he's not. And in his mind, in his dichotomy of what's good and bad, that was the most important thing. Of course, the other son said, wait a minute, I've been here toiling away. You know, how is this okay? And he said, I value the fact that the lost is back more than you were toiling in the fields. And that, there's a lesson in that, too.
When Brittany, in that theme she had, I thought, well, so, put yourself in the place that you never did anything wrong, but you got to take the blame for everybody else's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
What does that sound like?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, it kind of, so you better appreciate Jesus, you know what I mean, because that's what he did.
Well, and what was the hard part that would have kept a prodigal son from going back to his dad, besides the fear of being rejected? And that's the fear is what the devil tries to do, and the torture and the...
And the shame.
Well, in that unforgiveness and the things, or anything in the control we try to do ourselves, but he's like, hey, come on. Like, I'm here, come back to me, glory in that. Love in that, no matter what. And even telling the guy about scratching his car. What is the thing with that? But I don't want to deal with it. And whatever, or I don't, bleh, and it's, there, that's the thought process. And you can give in to the thought process or say, okay, no, now I know what is right and required of me. And in that, then that's more of a freedom, release, and understanding and testimony. And if it would have been the opposite, who knows? Eli could have mentioned it to the carpenter, and then the carpenter tells somebody else, and then this guy calls the cops, and then you did a hit and run. You know, and that's what the devil wants to set it up for, and you get to do the opposite and turn it into a glory, and that's what he does, and that is so fantastic. But equally, the other would have could have been a super easy choice, and an easier choice.
I like where the prodigal son gets to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to go back and be with the servants just to be with my father.
Right.
You know? I mean, he finally hit bottom where, you know, he was out in the field. He couldn't hardly even get what the pigs were eating, you know? Mm-hmm. And
he humbles himself.
He humbled himself and said, I'm willing to go back and just, I'll be even less than the servants, you know, basically is what he felt like. And so, you know, and so all that, everything got rewarded except for the older son.
You know, what question what Curtis was saying. Now, see, so you hit somebody and with a car, and then they hit you, and then God uses for good, right?
Mm-hmm.
He uses for good. But if, but you haven't gotten happened to you what you have done to others.
That is correct.
So you don't. So if you were going to deserve what. To you, what you've done to others?
I'm not talking about deserving. I'm talking about
earning it.
Yep. And I'm saying, absolutely. I think, for sure, 100%, that if that same things that I've done to other people happen to me, that that would balance the scales.
But the scale has been balanced for
that's
a long time.
That's fine. Maybe. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yes, before the Lord curses that stuff.
Yes, but what I'm saying is, the Lord, by our sins, we've done things wrong. I'm not going to speak for Jesus and say that He wants to use those same things that I've done in my path forward to make things right in me. I don't know that. I'm not going to say that. That is nothing. Nor am I going to say what I said, the reap what you sow, is a blanket statement for everything, because it's not Job.
You know, when you throw a rock in the water, it sinks. That's the natural way that things happen, you know? But Jesus walked on the water. And in that same way, I think we do reap what we sow, except that grace is like walking on the water. is just not the unfolding of the natural way. It's a supernatural deal. But what you're talking about is the natural way.
I'm not discounting grace. I'm not saying I don't think I'm forgiven. I'm just saying that if the Lord decides that I'm going to be faced with the same adversity that I have dished, that I'm going to count that to that.
If that's
God's will.
Right.
But if that's God's will, but it's not because you earn it. It's not an earned thing. You didn't have to work. You earn what you work for. And so it is not in the Bible that because you did this, you're going to get that. You know what I mean?
Well, it says a lot in the Bible. If you do this, you'll get that. And if you don't do this, you won't get that.
Yes, but not about that. Not about what? About what you're saying that you earn. The Bible does not say that you will get what you earn. Because you did wrong, you're going to get wrong. God has not
I think he was given the opportunity more to forgive rather than earn the bad. He didn't earn that she hit his car. That makes it sound bad, but not earning, but getting the opportunity to give forgiveness in a situation that he did something wrong, and now he gloried that in the fact of seeing the forgiveness and understanding. It's that Jesus said that because he was suffered, he equally was tempted, he understood and could justify and forgive them, they know not what they do, because he was in their same position. He was in our same position, equally tempted and tested as we are. And so Curtis, equally tempted and tested too, he could have called the cops on the 15-and-a-half-year-old girl who hit his car, and he could have held her responsible and made it justified in the flesh and all of that, and not given that free forgiveness. However, count it glory and count it on his ticket that Curtis has already been forgiven, and so he owes that girl forgiveness because Curtis was forgiven, and that is a glorious thing because
exactly.
It is a refinement within him.
Yes, kind of. I'm way past it. It happened, it was good. God used it for good. I'm talking about the other thousand things that you think you earned. And I'm not trying to say, Curtis,
bring you back.
No, I'm trying to help you be free because you need to be free.
Mm-hmm. I think you have two people in two different places on different wavelengths. And so I don't think you're going to solve it today.
No.
Or whatever, because there's just a different train of thought from two different people. And so,
well, Amanda and I would also say that happens a lot, especially if we're all seeking the Lord, and we all acknowledge that we're not all as much as we want to be in exactly the same place. So I thought Curtis said, well, this is where I'm at right now. And so I kind of heard that and go, because I struggle with the term earn. I don't know how well that lines up, but I trust that my God is big enough to overcome that. Now, if you're diligently seeking the Word and you're in the Word, if that really is not the right word to put into that situation, he'll fix it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to get too bent out of shape over it.
Yeah,
I'll check on him, though. I mean, I love you, brother. In another month, you're still hanging up on that. I go, I don't know. I don't see it quite exactly that way. But I know where you come from. I think, for me, the better testimony about that, or a different way to look at that testimony is, you look at the sin that you have in the past, and you are now on the receiving end of a similar sin, and you give grace and you forgive the person, which is what we've been talking about, saying, I forgive the sin against me, which is what I'm required to do. And in the past, when you did that sin, you were okay with it. You're more okay with it than you would be today.
I was absolutely okay with
and
all
that,
the sins.
To me, that's the takeaway that we ought to be really focusing on. Look at what, and I'm not saying you're saying it this, but God has done a work in me. Not like, look how good I am, but God has done a work in me, and I'm giving him that glory. And so, and if in a natural you go, you know, I did this, so I can be, I'm quicker, or I'm easier to forgive because I kind of earned this for my past mistake. I don't know about her. But however God is using the situation and you're growing, glory.
I think God will allow those life situations for you to say, hey, this was me before, or I did this, or I said whatever. and now I know how I can handle it, or they can, whatever I should do to this person. So God does allow those things, I believe, not as an earning or deserving, whatever, but I understand what you're saying, because God allows those things so that later in life, then when you have the opportunity to approach that same thing different or towards another person who also experienced it, it helps with your own shame and things that maybe those are things that come up that you don't even realize that were back there. That all of a sudden you're like, hey, wait a second. I would have done this before, but I'm doing this now because God's worked in me. And, oh, that's why. And then your mind, and maybe things will happen and you'll not remember a certain situation that God did, isn't giving you because you he's paying you back. But that will trigger something from back there that you'll go, oh, I didn't realize I had that sitting back there, and that's a good feeling that I was able to do something for somebody else that triggers a healing, let's say, from way back there. So I understand that, you know, and God will, but I definitely also appreciate God's grace in the aspect of I definitely do not want to earn back any of what I came out. You know what I mean? I definitely don't want to ride that wave. But I do know that there's been times in my life, especially in the last several years, of things that will come up that it's kind of like a life lesson, a something that comes up that I'm able to do this because I have experience from this in a different direction or whatever. And so I pray that I don't face or earn back whatever I've dealt. You know what I mean?
Okay. So, talking about reap what you sow, and I want to help with this scripture because I don't have it clear, but it says, you know, reap what you sow, but then there's a talk about it, and it's like, well, and it's like God or the master or whatever. It's like, well, you're supposed to reap what you sow, but you're not reaping what you sow. You're doing something different. You're reaping more or something. But we don't reap what, if I had to reap what I sow, I wouldn't have much to reap. You know,
it's an Old Testament. I mean, it's in the book of Proverbs, so right. it's Old Testament.
But Jesus brings it up, and it shows, I don't know if it's a parable, but I'm just like somebody's scared about talking to it. Well, I thought you were going to reap what you sow, but you're not really doing this, or something like that. Anybody have to think about it?
I don't know. If you're a bad tree, are you going to produce good fruit, or are you going to produce bad fruit? And if you're a good tree, are you going to produce good fruit?
Yeah,
bad fruit.
Good point.
But then there's grace and salvation that comes
yes.
at some point.
Oh, absolutely.
Like if you have a plant that's dying,
course,
but
that's
you start taking care of it.
Blanket statement.
But that's, isn't that speaking about a spiritual place? You know what I mean? Like if you're a bad fruit and you stay a bad fruit or whatever, but you're a good tree.
Mm-hmm.
You're a good tree. So
yeah.
You're a good tree.
No, but our sins open the door to temptations and things. And I think a lot of the times that what we are faced with negatively are oftentimes things that are weaknesses that we have given up, you know.
I
same with prosperous things.
I think now that before, he did spend an awful lot of time earning, not earning, but when we live, we get sin. We sin.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those things. And until he was saved and whatever, the trajectory of life and the things that were going on, those were earned things and whatever. Now that he's saved and earned isn't a great thing to say, I don't think. I think it is result.
It is result.
Right.
Not to earn, I suppose. Your good choices result in good things. Your bad choices result, don't earn, but result. That's the outcome, cause and effect.
But then now those things that he's done before, he's used in his mindset to justify, this is happening to me. And he gets to spend his life a bondservant to Christ. Count this to you forgiven me. Now this happening in my life, you get to now reposition and much is required. And in that giving forgiveness, giving understanding, giving justification, because he spent an awful long time getting to the position he was in and understanding somebody else. Not a, I'm earning this, I deserve this, this is happening to me for a reason. But the now this refinement in me that you don't think about and giving that freedom and understanding the position she was in that he's hit a car and drove away. you know, that's probably what she wanted to do, and now she's facing it. How does he, how would he have wanted to be in that situation? Now that he's earned the free forgiveness, not earned, but requested, and the result of have being healed and saved, he is able to give out a different thing in that. And that refinement process and healing is wonderful. It's not an earned, like, I deserve this, and this is terrible, and that stuff.
Okay,
the
so
wording.
I just, when you say, are you speaking about good things or bad things?
Oh, and I don't mean earned. I'm saying what you deserve and not deserve. Cause and effect. If you know the definition of cause and effect and what that means, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, see, if I blend with fire, I can burn. But if I stop playing with fire, I'm not going to get burnt anymore. And I don't have to get burnt because I play with fire in my back.
No, but then you can give out a different result to the people who are still playing with fire. I think that is not a, I deserve it, I earn it, but you're able to comprehend and understand the position somebody else. Troy, the situation that we went through just now, the only reason we were able to react and handle it the way we were was because in the past we had a different thing and a different result could have happened, but now we want to earn the glory, grace, freedom. Freely you're forgiven, freely forgive. And correlating those two things, when you got a major wrong, you're able to give a different response.
Let me throw in my two cents. Maybe it, you know, it's been said already, but you know, when you were telling your story about what happened with the vehicle there, I felt a little convicted because it wasn't just super long ago I did a hit and run and didn't cause a lot of damage, but I did a hit and run. I did not have Eli with me, so. Well, right. Yeah, right. Sorry, Eli. But anyway, someone digged my car when I was in the parking lot or something. I got no business saying that guy. I have no business doing that. Mm-hmm. You think I can do that after the stunt I pulled? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fooey, you know. I really got to let that go. Actually, it's kind of nice. My car looks an awful lot like thousands of other cars out there now. Except for that little place where... And I can recognize it in the parking lot now. But anyway, I'm not very pleased with myself for having pulled that stunt. You know? I could have done better. Should have done better. But, so I earned it. No, I don't.
You then go and someone dings your car, and you're like, oh, okay, now give me your insurance and pay me, and you, how dare you ding my car? How you forgive, you'll be forgiven. The Bible does say that. The Bible does say the way you forgive, the way you accuse, the way you excuse. And so in this girl hitting his car, he looked for an excuse for her. He didn't accuse her. He didn't hold it against her. And the way that we do that is the way that it will be done to us. The Bible says that. The Bible says that.
The servant who was forgiven his debt and didn't forgive the other servant.
Uh-huh.
His debt.
Yeah, right.
What happened to him?
Yeah, right.
It's not that he deserved it. It's just the result of what he did.
Right.
Yeah.
And how glorious that we get to go through that refinement process and that we get to face those things. And it says not to be upset when those things happen to you, because we're counted to do that. And glory that I get to be required to forgive, because it's not easy. And I feel so much more loved by Jesus that he freely, even being murdered, said, forgive them, they know not what they do. And I want to somehow get to a place where no matter what goes on, it's forgive them, they know not what they do. It doesn't matter, forgive them. I didn't know what I was doing when I did this thing, you know. I didn't know. I just did what I thought was best in that moment, according to the thought that I had in that moment. And that's what I did. And I want to give that to everybody else as a result of my forgiveness.
It says, it kind of fits if you listen to the content. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Oh, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
No.
It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away sin, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. What is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
So in all this, we need to realize the outwardly is wasting away. It's not, I want to say important, but that's not the word I want to use. It's not relevant or something, I don't know, but inwardly is what's more important. What we are accomplishing inwardly by the outward. And I think that's kind of what we're arguing about here is this, but we need to see this.
So I'm going to pray right now. Lord, let your Holy Spirit go to work this week. And then we meet again. Because some of this is, some of it's just wordplay and everything, and so, and people are in different places, so we need the Holy Spirit to resolve.
Absolutely. I think we should pray for Sioux Falls.
Okay. Well, let's do that right now. Oh, Lord, by your Spirit. Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that you would lift Sue up, O Lord.
Amen.
That she would have hope. That she would have an expectation that things are going to be better. And Lord, we ask that your hand of healing would be on her. Breathe your breath of life into her. Breathe your breath of life, O Lord. And that her body would have strength to receive nourishment. That the Spirit would just flow through her, that river of life, river of living water, that it would flow through her, Lord, by your Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, that you would be her Heavenly Father in this whole process. That you would take her up in your arms and you would just hold her to your breast as a father might hold little baby or whatever. Just hold Sue to you. Hold her to you during this difficult time, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And her family.
Yes, that's right. And that you would provide for that family, Lord. But, you know, you hold the little baby, you feel that in interchange of spirit or whatever. So, Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that there would be just a flowing between you and her in that whole process, in that deal, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Any other prayer requests?
Well, maybe. Were you going to say something?
Oh, I forgot to ask for. I need prayer for my arm. Old football injury.
That was funny.
Curtis and Eli are just up over here. And also, I was going to ask a prayer for Angel. She's due in a few days, ready for her fourth, and it's a at-home, in-the-water birth, just like Jonah was and Lennox was at home, and just that the Lord would be with her, because, you know, it's a lot of coordination when you suddenly have to go into labor, and then you have the kids, and her whole birth space is all set, and she's got everything she needs, but just for comfort and peace, and that it all goes as well. And
your hand.
Yeah.
I will pray for my neck and different things. That, I don't know, different muscles or whatever. No, I pray with Curtis, and he's got a back issue, and the only one that can fix it is God, and he will. Mm-hmm. I just know that he will take care of all of our needs. The Bible says he will heal all your afflictions or whatever.
Infirmities, really. Infirmities?
Yeah.
Infirmities, yeah. Psalms.
Yeah.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, it says. That sucks.
Either way, I'm just. So my head.
Kurt was back. Yeah.
Susan's arm.
Yes, Lord. By your spirit. Lord, your healing, Jesus.
Yes.
Your healing. Your healing. Whatever's going on with that arm, Lord. Thank you. Oh, yes. Yes. Would not be plagued with discomfort.
Yes.
Whatever pain here, oh Lord.
Yes.
Full use of
yes.
That arm.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Jesus. You touch it. Your healing. You restore that which has been damaged. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, we ask that you would go before Angel.
Yes, Lord God.
Arrange things. Yes. Arrange all the things that need to be put in place here in anticipation of that baby. Mm-hmm. And that we ask, oh Jesus, that that whole process would just be good. Good. Would work the way you want it to work, and it would just be good. Healthy baby, healthy mom, just
yes.
Good. Bless, your blessings be there. Your blessings be there. Your blessings be on baby in the process of birth, yeah. But also, your blessings be on that baby's life, too.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, bless that child. Bless that child, that child would grow to be, what is it, Jesus said, with God man, whatever happened there in Book of Luke with Jesus, in favor. That baby would grow in favor with God and man. Thank you, Lord. That could work. Or something else? Bob, Lord, by your spirit, Lord, we ask, oh Jesus, that all the various ailments, all the things that have gone on here with Pablo's body, Lord, we ask, oh Jesus, that there would be a reconditioning, if you will.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Put in place all the things that are out of place.
Yes.
Any place that is body where there is damaged tissue or whatever, Lord, we ask that you would just do a repair there, do a healing, Lord,
yes.
And that he would just be able to have full use of his body. He's got a job that requires him to be having a good body. So Lord, that it would be like all the other tools that he has, that he makes use of, oh Lord, that his body would be a tool that works the way you want that tool to work. Oh, do that good work. And Lord, he gets home, be real nice to not be in pain, not be limited, and all the stuff that he does. So Lord, we ask, oh Jesus, that you would lift all the pain, lift all the ways that can't do that, all that stuff, that just would not be the experience that Pablo has by your spirit. Thank you, Lord.
What I really need prayers for is just to help keep the devil out of my ear.
Thank you.
He
has a herniated disc in his lower back. That's what the nerve pain and stuff in his leg is coming from.
Oh, yes, Lord. Jesus, by your spirit, that you would touch and heal Curtis.
Yes.
Touch and heal it by your spirit.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're the great physician, Lord. You're the great chiropractor. So, Lord, we ask, God, Jesus, that you would, whatever's going on there, that you would make it right by your spirit.
Yes.
So thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Whatever, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Lord, let us stand together and rebuke that enemy, Lord.
Yes.
Yes. Touch that door to his voice, God.
Yes.
Shut that door to his voice, Lord. And yes, Lord, you fill it with Jesus. Yes, fill it with your spirit, Lord. Speak to the good things, Lord.
Yes.
And the encouragement of faith. And then touch that gift of healing, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.